Good morning, my church family.
Good morning.
We're in lesson three. Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the solution. I'm going to do warm-up. I'm going to do the workout. Brother Alex Bank going to do Jesus is the solution, and he's going to break that down for you. Yeah. And Diane, she's going to do our cool down. You have any more books? Books. Jesus is a solution. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. Thank you. When I was a kid, we often went out for pizza, and I was always enticed by the peppermint candy left out for patrons to take home. One day I decided to go to get a piece of that candy. My mother warned me that I should not eat the candy because I may choke on it, but I took a piece anyway. I waited for the opportune time to sneak behind our basement door to enjoy the candy. No sooner had I put the candy in my mouth than I began to choke. I panicked and sought out my mother. I still can remember the fear I felt. I was grasping for air, and my mother screamed for my father. He picked me up by my feet and beat on my back. Thankfully, the candy immediately came out, and my life was spared. Had my parents not been there, I would have died that day. I was warned that the piece of candy would cause me to choke, but I rejected that warning and choked and chose to eat it, the candy anyway. As expected, I did choke and was about to lose my life. I needed someone more powerful than myself, my mother and dad, to be there to save me. I could not save myself. I was powerless. This is a simple analogy of our predicament in our sin, for we are powerless to save ourselves and need a Savior to come to our rescue. Once we accept sin as the main problem in the world, each of us must see that it is a personal thing, personal problem. We are not just victims of sin, but we have also walked the path of sin. This acknowledgement of walking in sin makes it clear that we are enemies of God, who is at odds with our Creator. The next thought each of us should consider is, how do we fix this problem? Most would suggest to stop doing bad things and start doing good things. However, the gospel of Christ shows us that there is no great deed we can do to make us right with God and change our status before God. What there, are we Jews any better off? No, not at all, for we all have already charged that all, both Jews and Greek, are under sin, Romans 3:9. Paul turns to the Old Testament in Romans 3:10-18 to tie together a litany of passages that demonstrate there is no one who does good or seeks God. Romans 3:10-12 reads, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Romans 6:23 goes on to say, the wages of sin is death. What we earn from our choice to sin and live against God's glory and will is death. This is what we earn. There is no good deed we can do to earn God's favor back or change the reality that we are dead in our sins. This is why Romans 5:6 say that we are weak, which is to be without strength or helpless. This all makes sense then as we learn we are in bondage of slavery to our sins without Christ. We are simply powerless to break the chains of sin or remove our guilt by ourselves. This is hard for many to accept. Does anyone want to admit they are weak or enslaved in any way? Everyone just want to focus on their strength and to cover their eyes from their own weakness or shortcomings. But the key to understanding the gospel is to accept that we are weak and powerless in our sin.
And Jesus is the solution. We have already seen the great depths of humanity, sinfulness.
Speak a little louder, too, for they could hear.
Jesus is the solution. We have already seen the great depths of humanity, sinfulness in Romans 1:18, 3:20. Then from 3:20 to 5:20, we see the answer God has for our sin problem, Jesus. We have seen Romans 5:6-11 is a helpful passage to share with others to explain our need and the solution of God for our sin. Now we can add Romans 3:21-26 to our understanding. But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who all believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to receive by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Our Heavenly Father has made a way for all the sins of humanity to be dealt with at one time and in one place by only one person. That person is the Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The New and Old Testament law, prophets, and writings point to this work of Jesus on the cross, and his work is made effective for those who believe. Just as all have sinned, all have the opportunity to be made right with God by grace through faith. The cross and a propitiation or atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. This means that it was blood, was his blood and his death that took the place of ours. In his death, he took on the wrath of God, that just and righteous consequence for our sin, that we might now have a place with God, as Romans 5:1 proclaims, Ephesians 2:3, John 3:36. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:26 explains that through the cross of Christ, our Heavenly Father is able to both be just and the justifier. Our Father was just in the sense of dealing with sin, and the justifier of the cross to reconcile humanity with God and make forgiveness a reality for those who come to the Father by the Holy Spirit through faith in the Son. Colossians 1, 19, 23, Hebrews 9, 27, 28, and Corinthians 5, 18, 19, and 1 John 2, 1, 2, 4, 4, 2, 4, and 10. Here, in this part of the lesson, it's right out telling us that our God was always first seen saving us. But he gave us a free, he gives us a free will. But we have to, in our minds, as we navigate through life, connect that all answers lies in Christ and how to harden our flesh side, put it under submission where we give over to the Spirit of God through the renewing of our minds through studying his word. But the biggest counselor of all is God. And as a counselor, I just want to say this, I'm a solution-focused counselor. And it all ties back to Christ. Christ always was finding a solution. He used his disciples as they lived their lives to actually dive deeper into humanity to say, what is the problem going on with mankind?
Mm-hmm.
Even though he was God, he brought us to the table and said, look, I love you. I don't want you to be in bondage to me. I want you to enjoy my freedom of the Holy Spirit, which are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And that's our superpower as we navigate through the world, to bring ourselves under submission, to realize none of us is even, all of us have fallen short. But we must lift each other in agape love. And that takes a lot of work.
Amen.
But we can do it, and we walk in power and not defeat. We walk in strength and not fear. The only thing that we fear is the wrath of God. So that's why we change our lives, our heart, and our mindset to know that we are winning, we are victorious, because the victory has already been won.
So right. Sister Diane, cool down.
It is not hard to look at our world, whether through history or the latest headlines, and see that we need help. We can look not only at others, but within ourselves, and see that we need help to be who we want to be or need to be. We can see that education, therapy, money, technology, or other scientific advances may improve life in certain ways, but we are powerless to fix sin on our own. The Christian faith is unique in calling sin the problem and providing a solution that works. No single figure in history has transformed and redeemed so many lives lost in sin as that of Jesus of Nazareth. The help we need to deliver us from our sins and restore our relationship with God is not found in any other person but Jesus.
So, Ray, church, I don't care how we look at it. All of us at one time or another have enslaved sin in our life. We have been trying our best on a daily basis to try and do it right, but sin be right there. And Paul said in Romans 7:21, every time I try and do good, sin is right there. And that's all of us. We are trying our best on an everyday basis, but sin is right there. Sometimes inside, something inside us always is there to make us sin, and that's the devil. See, that's Satan. Satan working inside of us. That's that war that's being fought inside of our bodies. How many of us just think about Satan is always in the picture? How many of us have said, you know, have told small lies? You know, I'm talking about the small one, the one we call white lies. You know, that's Satan. How many of us have thought or said small curse words? You know, how many of us have stomped our foot or cut our finger, or did something that really hurt us spontaneously, and first thing you say is something small. And guess what that first small thing is? Most times it's a curse word. A lot of us takes those things for granted, but that's not us. That's that sin man who lives inside of us. See, we have to start thinking, what's causing us to do these type things? You know, because people do things and think it's all right because everybody else is doing it. Taxes. How many of us have every year on taxes come around and try and add to or subtract from to get an increase? That's Satan. I mean, we could do this on our own and do it the right way, and God's still going to provide for us. We shouldn't have to add anything to God's word. And that's what he's telling you. He's telling you that the things that you do, give it to me. Put it in my hands. And once it's in my hand, leave it alone.
I like the way the text says, going back to the text.
Mm-hmm.
The text says we can see that education, therapy, money, technology, and other scientific advances may improve your life in certain ways. But I like the way it goes back. It can't fix the sin problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing, you know, when you were saying the thoughts and how we try to not do these things, but that's where texts connect the world that we live in.
So mm-hmm.
that we can become educated to why we're doing this, but the therapy part will help change your mind. But
yeah.
you still have to connect to God's word to be able to transform from that sinful nature to a godly nature.
Well, that's the only solution we have.
Yeah.
And the book said the only solution it is God, it's Jesus. So we have to look at that. You know, that sin problem that we have is that bondage that they're talking about. That's that slave to sin. See, church, we need Jesus. We need Jesus in everything that we say and do. We need Jesus to save us from this sinful world, not only this sinful world, but save us from ourselves. Because a lot of times we put ourselves in the way. We put ourselves up to the point where we think it's us. We're going to take care of this problem ourselves. But we have to take ourselves completely out the picture. See, a lot of times we don't realize that sin until sin is right there. Sin be right there present. That's when it comes up in us, because that's that sinful man we have. See, all sin, big or small, is sin. Death and sin came into the world way back when. When Adam and Eve, they decided to eat off that forbidden tree. That's when death and sin came into the world. That's obedience. See, sin and death will always be here too, until the end of time. And only help that we have is, like the book says, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only solution that we could even possibly think of. See, church, we must start buckling ourselves up. We must put on Christ first. We must be ready and willing to spread his word to this dim world. And the only solution that this book is telling you is Jesus Christ. See, in Matthew's 13 and 44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. But church, we have to look at it. Church, once we find Jesus, Jesus is the treasure. Once we find Jesus have that treasure of everlasting life. So that's the treasure we're looking for. And if we find him, guess what? We all supposed to get what he promised us. Then he would save us. Then he would be able to take this sinful world out of the picture and save us from ourselves. Paul said in Romans 7:22, In my inner being, I delight in God's law, but a slave to sin. We all are slaves to sin. Just like I say, all these little things that we come up against every day in our lives, the devil is right there. He don't want to see you do good. He don't want to see you give praise to the Lord. Church, sin is at our doorstep every day. Believe it or not, when we wake up, a lot of times our mind don't be on the Lord. Our minds be way away from the Lord. But the only way we get ourselves back in order within that day, when we start focusing on God. If you are a Christian, and that's all of us have to start thinking what it is that gets me right with God. It's nothing that we could do physically, nothing we could do emotionally. God wants our whole undivided attention. That's all he wants. See, just like that little boy who ate that candy and choked. Guess what, church? We're spiritually choking ourselves. We need God. We need Jesus. We need Christ to save us. Save us from this sinful world. I'm here to tell you that there is repercussion in sin. Everything that we do, everything that we say, there's repercussion in how you do it and how you say it. Sin is the problem. Sin is a personal problem. It's a you and me problem. Believe it or not, if we take ourselves out of this sinful world, try and do better ourselves and don't worry about another person's sin, that's one less sin that will be moved about within that world, in the world. We have to work on self first. And then once we work on self and we could see ourselves getting better, we could show somebody else what the Lord have showed through his word to me. That's the only way we're going to do that. See, sin is going to be all around us at all times. The Bible says anything that's not of God is sin. That's the truth. Anything that you say, anything that you do is not of God, that is sin. The gospel teaches us that there's nothing a man can do to make it right with God. The only way you can make it right with God is do the right thing according to his word. Thank you. According to his word. See, we must die to sin. We must take ourself and don't make it about just ourselves. We have to put God first in all we say and do. See, church, Satan's job is to rage war in all of our bodies. And that's what he do. That's his job. He don't want to see us serve the Lord the way we do. So he's going to put every kind of block up there to stop us from completing our daily work with God. And the only way we could really combat that is prayer. We need prayer on an everyday basis. We need to pray, Lord, take those sinful thoughts, those sinful movements, those sinful things that's in my body, help me. Because believe it or not, we sin every day. We sin every day. I don't care who you is. We sin every day. Sometimes it's no more than a look, wandering eyes, you know, and that's men and women. And a lot of times people think men have the wandering eyes. No. You put on a nice outfit and don't you see how a woman look at you. But,
that's right.
Yeah, that's the truth. You have to look at it. You have to look at it. You have to call a spade a spade. If we want to do better, we have to get into God's word. We have to take in consideration that our love that we show to others will help us to get
closer to God. And our goal is to not only just get closer to God, but live with him forever. He said he was going to give us eternal life. And eternal life is him, us being with him for the rest of our life. See, we have to start thinking that God's gift of salvation is for all of us. All Christians, I'm sorry, and only Christians. If you're not a Christian, you can't get that salvation he's promising you. See, the salvation that he's promised you bring, deliver sin from you. He delivers sin from you, I'm sorry. He delivers sin from you and the consequences of sin. So anything that you do, guess what? You have someone you could go to and ask for forgiveness. And he will help you in that same situation that you're in. Everybody has something in their life that they have a problem with. All of us. Even if it be no more than overeating. You see what I'm saying? It's a sin. One, obesity. They say that in the Bible. Everything that we go, that we deal with on an everyday basis, believe it or not, one of those things in our life, in each one of us, it don't be the same thing, because everybody is different. So everybody going to have their own sin that they can't control. So what they have to do is ask the Lord to help them in that situation that they're in. And if we don't ask the Lord to help us, who could we go and cry on? There's nobody's shoulder you could cry on. We married. We married to each other. But can we go and cry on each other's shoulder for every sin that we have, every sin that we commit? No. Because, believe it or not, they'll be there with a sincere ear, but they can't help you. They want to see you out of that sin that you're in. But they helpless also. See, we are enemies of Christ if we do anything against Christ. And the only way that we could really get our lives together is to get in God's word. Read it on a daily basis. Put it in thought. Put it in your mind that you will do the will of God. So right. Anybody else have something they might want to say about that to help us on with this Bible study? See, but we have to remember, the only way we can get help with this sin problem is to admit that we are sinners. We are all sinners. But see, a lot of people try and hide that. They see what the world is doing, and they want to compare themselves to the world. The first thing they say, everybody else do it. Is that making it right? No, that don't make it right. That makes you a sinner just like that man who you said he do it all the time too. So we have to start taking and stop looking at the world and how the world conduct itself, and look at God and how God wants us to live and conduct ourselves. See, we have to call on the Lord to deliver us every day. Every day we have to repent. We have to repent from the sins that we commit against God. We have to be sincere and live our life in Christ. See, Christ, in everything we say and do, we're supposed to put Christ first. We're supposed to put him first. Church, we have to turn from the world. We have to turn to Christ. That's the only solution we have. A lot of us don't want to admit how weak we are, especially men. We thinking we're the strongest. But guess what? Through God, you're the weakest. And the only one who could help you is him. So he won't let you know he's there for you through everything that you say and do. So if you want to defeat this sin problem, it starts with self. If we could do self, if we could just take self and say, each day I'm going to try and practice to do something better than what I'm doing today. Every day, let the next day be a day of you trying to work on sin. And you will see that every sin that comes up in front of you, it'll be easier for you to deal with. It'll be so easier for you to deal with because you done put that shield of armor on, that armor of faith that Christ tell you put on, that whole armor of God. If you got that on, guess what? That's why you see them running to battle inside of hundreds of men, because guess what? They know they're protected. God protects us too. So when we open this book, when we open God's word and apply it to our lives, we covered too. Our life and our being and everything around us, nothing can really affect us. And even if they do affect us, because we all gonna go through something on an everyday basis, we have a way to see our way out of it. Soon as you start going through things in your life and it's really bad that you see is going wrong in your life, look to God. God is the one that you could see where you could get out this problem that you're in. All we have to do is put our mind and our hearts on God's word. And that's the key. That's the key. God put this book here as a guideline to our life. Now, if you don't use it, it's on you. But if you use it, look at all the benefits that we're going to get out of it. We have to apply this daily. We have to be ready and willing to bring it to somebody who don't know this word in the pardon of their sins. That's the only way we can combat sin. But we'll never be able to take it all out the world. Sin came here way back then, and sin's going to be here until the end of time. All we have to do is know that we have someone that we can go to and ask to forgive us for our sins, and we will be forgiven. Church, we are going through different different lessons in this book here. And I want each and every one of us to just read it. We had Brother Alex earlier this morning. He asked me one day this week to let him explain one of the paragraphs here, and he did a real good job to that. And if anybody wanted to expand on one of them, feel free, ask me, call me. Because once you say yours, just like Brother Alex did his, I'm gonna finish it up with what I got out of it too. That to make us all feel like we are part of this Bible study, where we could all not just be hearers of the word, but like the Bible say, be doers of the word. If you want to say something, interrupt me. I'll go back to what I'm saying after you finished. But we all have to be sincere about putting God first in our life, being ready to give a word to somebody who asks for a word. We have family members, we have friends, we have relatives that don't know the Lord in the pardon of their sins. So we have to be the one that take it to them. Like I told you on last week, everybody is not going to be acceptive of the word, but our job is to bring it. leave it at their doorstep and let them do what they want to do with it. And that's all we could do. But church, I don't know how many of us did take the time out and reading the lesson. I was thinking about asking a few questions that we have in the book here, if anybody want to have read it and want to answer some of these questions. That's why I tried to do it a little bit, you know, at a timely basis this morning. Okay, number one, what was it like for you to come to realize sin was the problem? Anybody? What made you know that sin was the problem? Okay, I thought about something. My sister, yeah. Okay, anybody else?
I like the way you said that.
Uh-huh.
Because the thing that constantly...
Speak a little louder, too, for
the... That's the first... second time you said that.
Yeah, and the reason why I'm saying that because the reason I'm saying that because we're on air and we want them to hear also.
But the thing that when you said spiritual, the mind, change your mind. Like, I think that the reprogramming of your mind with God's word is that thing that pulls you to that spiritual part of it. A renewing of the mind. And that's the therapeutic part of coming to Christ. That is a safe place. You're able to say, you're not looking at comparing yourself to anyone else. You're looking at the awe of God, his love, his how he's so understanding, and to put that into a human mind and to act and move through the world that way make us totally unique. And it's nothing like realizing that God gave us a mind, but he gave us the word to reprogram that mind to be like his mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's the uniqueness of being a Christian, because where in different situations, people are penetrated and they go off this, that, it's all self. But whereas you have that God's word and the Holy Spirit, by reading his word, you see things differently. And as you get older, your mind opens to a higher level of being intimate with Christ. It's an intimacy.
Okay, anybody else? When was your first time that you realized sin was a problem? Can you remember, my brother?
Yeah, I remember.
Speak loud.
And there was a time when it was a problem when it got to me that
Mm-hmm.
From fellowship from my brothers and sisters. Because I know not much is the separation, it's just that I was like, I know it's not just the point of me that I know I had a heaviness on me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that after that, I couldn't come to church and face my brothers and sisters.
Being convicted.
Mm-hmm.
You see, what you have to do at a situation like that, you have to get closer to God.
Yeah.
You have to start thinking, hey, what's keeping me away from communicating with my church family or my people? But see, you give that shame to God and leave that with Him and come back and say, hey, regardless of what's stopping me, I'm going. And that's what you have to do, you know. Number two, we're going to do one more before we sit down. How have you experienced powerless against sin? How you experienced powerless against sin? That's right. He lifts you up.
He lifts you up.
You know? That's right. And see, my experience of powerlessness against sin was me doing that same sin over and over again. Every time I tried, just like Paul, every time I tried to do it right, I would do it wrong. And I knew I didn't want to be like that. I knew I wanted to make a change. When I first met my wife, I was bouncing from church to church. Because I felt things was going real good in my life. And you know what I thought? I said, it's not me. It's God doing these things. And I was looking at everybody around me who I used to be in my circle, and people was falling. I said, that could have been me. So I started looking to try and find where God is, because He started being present in my life at that time. Because as a kid, we couldn't even go outside unless you went to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Nah, you don't have to go to church. Even moms and dads don't go to church. So guess what? If they see you ain't going to church, guess what? Why do I have to go to church? But once you put that in your kid, and guess what? That kid gonna come back. Even if you don't direct him back to church, he gonna find church itself. Because guess what? It's already planted in you. So he realizes it is important. That's the main thing. Church, we only have a few more minutes. We have 12 minutes before service, 13 minutes before service. So will you bow with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this Bible study that we are having. Thank You, Lord, for opening our hearts and our minds to You, putting these thoughts of this book of your word in our hearts and our mind. Praying, O Heavenly Father, that we take these lessons that we are learning and use it. Use it on an everyday basis to help someone who is in need of you. Praying, O Heavenly Father, for the manservant who will be breaking the bread of life to us today. Be with him and his family. Praying for all of us as a whole, O Heavenly Father, and be with us all throughout our lives. Praying, O Heavenly Father, for the ones who have made it here successfully today, Lord. We want to say thank you. Praying, O Heavenly Father, for the ones who en route here, Lord, give them safe passage. These things we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.